Under the new Alberta Government Pharmacy and Drug Act that came into force on April the 2nd, patients running low on prescription drugs will be able to get an emergency refill from their local pharmacy. The Alberta government's intention is to help improve access to drug treatment by expanding the role of the province's pharmacists and to reduce the strain on family physicians and emergency rooms. Pharmacists in Alberta now have the ability to prescribe medications for minor conditions or in urgent situations. They will also be entitled to modify or alter the dosages and duration of prescriptions written by doctors. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Jeff Poston, Executive Director of the Canadian Pharmacists Association since 1999, following a successful tenure as Director of Research and Practice Development. A hallmark of his career has been a commitment to innovation and pioneering innovative approaches to developing the role of the pharmacist. Dr. Poston obtained his Bachelor of Pharmacy degree and PhD in Pharmacy from the University of Wales in Britain. And good afternoon and welcome.
Okay, thank you, Barry. I'm pleased to be with you.
My first question is, where did the idea for pharmacists to prescribe medication originate?
I think it's something that is, as we've seen problems in relation to drug therapy out there in society, as those problems became documented, there was a question began to be asked of, you know, if pharmacists were more involved, if pharmacists had more responsibility, you know, would that lead to better outcomes for the patient? And I think the first changes that we saw actually took place in Britain around about 2000, so this is a relatively new phenomenon, in terms of changes in legislation being made to enable pharmacists to have some authority around initiating and modifying drug therapy.
So this has been done in other countries then?
Yes, it's the UK now have about 6 years' experience with what they call non-medical prescribing, because nurses, nurse practitioners have some involvement as well. And in the UK, it's gone through various levels, I guess, or various stages of development and control. And last year in the UK, they gave pharmacists, were given independent prescribing rights, subject to them taking some additional qualification. So I think we've seen two drivers, as you mentioned in your introduction. One is improving patients' access to medications, and also hopefully improving the improving outcomes for patients from the medications that they're taking.
Now, when this was presented to the Alberta government, what sources of data were used to demonstrate the efficacy of this program?
I believe what happened in Alberta, there was we've got quite a lot of data, and I wasn't involved in directly presenting the evidence to the government in Alberta. The Alberta College of Pharmacists, which is the licensing body in Alberta, were one of the key groups that took the lead in Alberta. What I think we've seen is that there's a lot of evidence, particularly from the hospital environment, that demonstrates that adding pharmacists into the medical team does lead to better outcomes from drug therapy. So there's been a lot of experience gained in hospitals, and in many hospitals, pharmacists are involved in some sort of a collaborative practice arrangement with physicians, where they actually do make a lot of the decisions around drug therapy. And in the last, I guess, five to 10 years, we've begun to see projects in community pharmacies where pharmacists have developed an expanded role in relation to helping identify drug-related problems in patients and then providing services to help fix those problems. So there's been a that's basically the background against which some of this work's been done.
Well, I have to say that absolutely in the hospital, I think the pharmacists are invaluable. When I'm doing some of my hospital work with the residents, the pharmacist is with us, and they do provide a lot of background information. And also will mention, you know, I think if we use this medication, it'll interact with another one that they're taking. So it really is very important to have them integrated into that team.
Yes, and I think that's an important point to emphasize with the changes in Alberta. The regulations place a very strong emphasis on collaboration. Collaboration between the community pharmacist and the family physician, collaboration in the hospital environment, because I think we are at a stage in healthcare where we recognize that a team approach does lead to better quality and quality of care for the patients. And so it's obviously easier to facilitate that collaborative practice model in a hospital environment than what it is in the community setting. And this is, I think, where, I think Alberta is to be congratulated in taking this sort of progressive step of changing the legislation, changing the regulations, in order that we can begin to work on developing these new practice models and practice arrangements in the community, which will, in the long run, lead to significant benefits, we hope, for patients.
So, for example, say a medication is altered or changed. Is there something now that's integrated into the system that will provide a certain time frame so that the physician will be informed of these changes? Is there some sort of mechanism in place to not allow the change to fall through the cracks?
That's right. One of the important requirements in the standards of practice, that the new standards of practice that the regulatory body for pharmacists in Alberta have put out there, there's a number of conditions that have to be met with pharmacists prescribing. They have to have a working relationship with the physician who's looking after the patient. They have to know the patient. If they make some changes to the patient's drug therapy, then the pharmacist is required. They have to document that in the record, and they have to communicate that to the patient's regular physician. And in addition to that, the pharmacist has to have a follow-up plan. So they have to, there has to be a plan where in a week or 2 weeks' time or 3 weeks' time, the pharmacist is going to contact the patient, or the patient is going to see their physician, and is going to, have their progress evaluated.
So in other words, there is a good follow-up plan so that if there is an adverse event with regards to changing the medication or the dosing, then it is known. It's not just changing it and then the patient is off into the ether.
That's right. That's one of the important requirements, is that it's documented, it's communicated to the physician, and is that the patient will be followed up.
Well, it seems to me that this situation would be perfect for an electronic medical record system where the pharmacist and the physicians have access to the same chart, and that it's a living chart. That is, if a change is made, it's automatic. It's already in this whole process, similar to how it happens in hospitals where there's an integrated record. But if we're going to do that in the community, I think if we're looking for good patient care, integrating that whole record and having, of course, the patients give permission for access to that record, but allowing both to work together, because it seems to me that would be in the best interest of the patient.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's no doubt is that once we get to a fully functioning electronic health record, it's going to promote collaboration and lead to much better patient follow-up and much more better documentation. And I think it'll also facilitate better sort of planning of care for the patient.
Now, does the new law and policy in Alberta outline the specific medical conditions that the pharmacists can act upon, or is it under a certain umbrella?
No, it's more general than that. Is that the type of thing that there's some sort of general requirements around that the pharmacist has to feel that they're competent to be making the decisions that they're making. I think, having said that, the plans will be is that where particularly this adjustment of doses and adjustment of drug therapy will take place will be in relation to the management of chronic diseases, diabetes, asthma, hypertension, the sort of diseases where the patient's already been diagnosed,
right.
The physician has prescribed some initial treatment, but they're not necessarily going to be seeing the physician on a regular basis, but they're going to be seeing the pharmacist on a regular basis.
Right.
So this is really creating an opportunity for the pharmacist to be monitoring the patients and then adjusting the doses of the drugs, or if it's appropriate, perhaps adding a drug to the regimen, to the treatment, so that the patient is better treated and is better controlled and has better outcomes.
Are there certain classes of medications that the pharmacists will not be involving themselves with regards to prescribing?
Yes, narcotics, controlled substances, narcotics are not going to be allowed to be prescribed. But I think one of the important innovations that Alberta is a first within Canada is that pharmacists, having undergone suitable training, will be allowed to administer injections. Mm-hmm. And where I believe that that may have some important benefits from a public health perspective is going to be around the development of new immunization programs, whether that's sort of vaccination against hepatitis for travel purposes or that type of thing. So that's an interesting new development for Canada. In the United States, I think now about 36 states, pharmacists are permitted to administer vaccines, and that's been a huge public health success in the United States. So the Alberta legislation is going to be a first for pharmacists in this country with respect to looking at how pharmacists can be incorporated into those types of public health programs.
Now, there have been some criticisms, forgive me if I have the wrong group. It was either the Friends of Medicare or Canadian Health Coalition. I'm not sure which of those. And they were concerned about the appearance of conflict of interest. That is, if a pharmacist is going to either diagnose or prescribe and dispense, then the perception could be, and I'm certainly not implying that at all, but the perception could be that because they're selling the medications as well, that would give a very poor appearance of that particular type of procedure.
Yes, well, I think is that there's certainly the conflict of interest issue is an important one, but I think we see it to a certain extent already existing in healthcare, like the dentist diagnoses and then sort of prescribes treatment. In some ways, the surgeon does the same. Obviously, we're all familiar with our garage mechanic doing the same to us. So I think is that we need to have a look at the conflict of interest issue quite carefully. What's been done in Alberta, the Alberta College of Pharmacists have taken this issue very seriously, and they have some specific guidelines around it. And that is, it's basically that the pharmacist that prescribes should not be the person that that dispenses and sells the medication, unless the patient consents to that, or it's this sort of situation that is allowed for in Alberta, where it's an emergency situation and there's really no other alternative. So certainly the profession has been very sort of sensitive to that issue, and they have taken steps in the Alberta legislation to try to create some separation from that act of prescribing with the act of dispensing.
Well, Dr. Poston, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to talk about this issue, and we'll be looking forward to seeing how things play out in Alberta with regards to integrating those networks, integrating that electronic medical record, which certainly would make things a lot more sort of smooth sailing for providing good follow-up and patient care.
That's correct, and certainly we're looking forward to seeing that sort of building of that collaborative practice relationship between community pharmacists and family physicians.
All the best.
Thank you very much.